And take your Bibles and turn them to our text, Ephesians chapter number 6 and starting in verse number 10. And that will be the subject matter all month long, Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll start reading in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 6. If you don't have a Bible, it should be one in front of you. Again, our theme here is be able to stand, able to withstand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. In other words, like a boxer. You know, you do everything you can to stand up. And you know what you have to keep doing? Keep standing. Amen. Unless you fall down, guess what? You lose the fight. And so it is in the Christian life as well. God would have us to stand. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the course of this month and throughout this year. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. I'm going to read those and I'm going to ask you to read two verses with me after I'm done. Paul here writing to the Christians at Ephesus says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Notice that stand against the wiles of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, as a result of that," he says, "take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore." And he lists the armor of God down there. I want you to read two verses with me. First of all, read verse 11 with me. Here we go. "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So in other words, the armor is needed so that you and I can stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles are tricks, they're schemes, they're tactics, it's means, it's ways that the devil uses to lure you. Then read with me verse 13. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." So he says, you know, I want you to take on, put on the whole armor of God in verse 11 to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then verse 13, he says, because of what I just said in verse 12, meaning we have spiritual enemies, he says, "I want you to take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." The word "stand" means to abide. It means to continue. It means to hold up, establish. It means to be fixed or steadfast. The word "withstand" in verse 13 means to oppose or to resist or to set yourself against. So in other words, the Bible is saying that you need to be able to abide, continue, hold up, establish, be fixed in verse number 12 against the wiles of the devil. And in verse 13, he's saying you need to be able to oppose, resist, or set yourself against the evil day. May I submit to you that we are living in an evil day? May I submit to you that the devil is very real? May I submit to you that he does not fight with gloves and he does not have a red suit? He does not have horns. He does not have a pitchfork, nor does he have a red tail. And he does not look like Yosemite Sam. There are a lot of versions of the devil out there, and I assure you he doesn't look like any of them. If he looked like those versions out there, you and I would run very fast. He doesn't look like that. He comes unassuming. He comes in ways that you would least expect him to come. May I submit to you, he can come in the form of a wife and a form of a husband, a child, a boss, a co-worker, and heaven forbid, it's true, as a church member. This year, some of the things that we will be challenged on standing for are going to be the Bible, the home, the church, the sanctity of marriage being between one man and one woman. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The faith, the truth, our Savior, our country, our communities, our families, our children, our values. a purity, prayer, pro-life, mission, soul winning, and on and on. I could go on things that we want to look at standing for and preaching about in our text. Paul has given the Ephesian brethren all the spiritual training needed to succeed in the Christian life in the book of Ephesians. Now in chapter 6, he begins to encourage them to stand and withstand in the Lord, ready for battle. And we are in a battle and need to stand more now than ever before. Father, bless now in these next moments. God, help us as we look to give some introductory thoughts from the Word of God. Lord, allow us to see the picture of what you want to do in our lives. Oh God, we need to stand. We need to stand now more than ever. God, there's so much at stake. There's so much that's going awry in our country. So many marriages that are broken up. So many homes that are broken up. So many churches that are torn apart. So many that have lost the faith. So many that have tossed truth to the side. So many that are ruining our country. So many that are ruining our community. So many that are damaging our families. So many are losing their purity. So many are forgetting and neglecting prayer. So many just dropping their values. And so many discouraging pro-life. Lord, there's so much that we need to stand for, and so much that we need to stand against. God, in this day and age, we need Christian men, women, boys, and girls that are not afraid to be counted as soldiers of the cross. We need men, women, boys, and girls that will highly lift up the banner of Jesus Christ. Lord, we need Holy Spirit-filled men, women, boys, and girls that will stand for Jesus, and they'll withstand in the evil day. God, we need real faith, not a manufactured faith. We need to have our own individual faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The arm of flesh will fail us. We dare not trust our own. God, give me the things that I need to say today. Such a very important topic. Lord, help us to set the stage for the year. As we set back and go forward, we might stand and withstand in this evil day. God, the times are here for us to stand. Lord Jesus, you could come back today. And what if it were today? Lord, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice is born again, and they're not. I pray that before the end of this service, they may call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save their soul. They may be gloriously born again. They would repent of their sin, because all have sinned. Speak to us now. It's been good thus far, Lord. Use your spirit now. Uplift your name. Magnify your word. Use me as your servant. Convict hearts. Change lives. Help us to leave differently than when we came in. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Jesse Medrano is going to sing for us. It's Eye on the Sparrow.
I feel discouraged. Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. the sparrow, and I know he watches me, and I sing because I'm happy. Yes, I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and my fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I see, if his eye is on the sparrow, well I know that he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Yes, I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within to him, from care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and so I know that he watches me. Sparrow, and I know he watches me, and I sing because I am happy, and yes, I sing because he set me free. Sparrow, and yes. Yes, I know He watches me. Oh, yes, I know He watches me.
Thank you, Jesse, for that message and song. Amen. God keeps his eye on the sparrow. You know he's watching over us. Amen. What a comfort and what a joy that is to us. Well, God spoke to my heart last year, right around February, I guess it was, February, March of last year, of the importance and the need for us as a church to stand. And I began looking towards that year, even as we were in Preach, Reach, Each. God had already laid this upon my heart, that we as God's people have to stand, because if we're not standing, we're going to fall. Amen. And it goes without saying, and I've heard this before, and it's true, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. And so we definitely don't want to do that. In the book of Ephesians, we're in a battle, and we're being encouraged to stand here. Going to pretty much just give some overview remarks this morning and kind of give us a guide as to how we're going to go about standing this year. One of the things that I want to really make obvious and painfully obvious to all of us is that it's easy to stand when the conditions are controlled. When everybody is speaking spiritual terms and everybody is speaking kind, everybody's doing the right things and everybody's following the word of God, it's very easy to stand. It's very easy to go along with the flow, because no one wants to go against the grain. And so as long as the conditions are standard, or they're set for you where you're not allowed to do this, that, or the other, the conditions are pretty easy to stand in. But you let one person start doing something wrong, and who will stand up and tell that person that is doing wrong to stop doing wrong? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we just let them go. Well, you know, let them do it. Let them go on. I don't know about you, but in my office where I used to work, they used to use the Lord's name in vain all the time. And when they would say, Jesus Christ, or somebody, I'd say, you talking to my Lord? Or they would use God's name in vain. I'd say, do you know my God? And they would look at me as if I had two heads. What do you have? I said, well, you just called his name. Do you need something from him?
Yes, sir.
I said, how about if I use your name? George. So how do you feel about that? Jeffrey. How do you feel about that? Marcus. They said, well, that's different. I said, no, it's not different. No, it's not different. You're taking my Lord's name and you're trampling upon it. And you're using it in vain. See, somebody's got to stand. It's easy to stand when the conditions are right and it's easy and everybody's doing the right things. But when people start doing the wrong things, or you're the only one doing the right thing, then it's difficult at best to stand. Now, let me tell you, let me show you how we normally stand. G2, come here for a second. Now, the Bible says that we're to stand. You see the soldier here, he's got his sword, he's got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, he's got the shield of faith here, he's got the helmet of salvation, he's got his loins girt about with truth, he's got on the breastplate of righteousness, he's got his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace that is mentioned down there in verses 14 and 15 and 16. So the average Christian goes to battle just like this. And let's just imagine that Gregory has his helmet of salvation on. He's got his breastplate of righteousness on. Let's just imagine he's got his sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, in his hand. Let's just imagine that he's got his shield of faith, which is here. Let's just imagine his loins girded about with truth down here. He's got his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's ready. He's ready. He's strong. He's strong. He's ready to go to battle. But there's something wrong with this picture. And what's wrong with this picture is what's wrong with the average Christian. You say, preacher, what is that? Pastor White, come up here for a second. No, Brother Hall, you're taller. Come up here for a second. This is what's wrong with this picture. And Brother Hall, you're in Border Patrol, right? Sometimes when the folks going across the border at Pass Out, you gotta kind of pick them up and carry them. Go ahead and grab G2 and pick him up. Put him over your shoulder. That's what's wrong with this picture. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Now, I guarantee you, if he is in the Lord, Brother Hall cannot pick him up because he's got to get past the Lord. He's got to get past God. He's got to get past the Holy Spirit. He's got to get past the Word of God. He's got to get past the angels of God. And I guarantee you, he will not be able to pick him up. Now, let's change the condition. Put him down. Come here, Pastor White. Come here, Brother Aaron. Where's Aaron at? Come here, Brother Aaron. Now, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Okay, so we got God the Father, the Lord here. You get a bear hug on him. We got God the Son. You get a bear hug on him. So we got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need the Word of God. Come here, Elijah. We got the Word of God. Give me some angels. Come here, Terrell. Now, who's strong? All right, y'all get in here as well. All right. He's the Christian because the premise is I got to be strong, but in the Lord. See, what we try to do is what G2 did initially is try to go out there and fight our own. Oh, yeah, I got my sword of the Spirit. Oh, yeah, I got my shield of faith. Oh, I got my feet shod. Oh, I got my helmet. Oh, I got my breastplate. Oh, I got my loins girded. And here I go, and then the devil will pick you up and smack you down. Because you're standing in your own power and not the power of the Lord. Now, with the power of the Father, the power of the Son, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the angels, the power of the Word of God, it's hard pressed to pick him up now. It's hard pressed. Brother Wilkerson, you used to picking up kids. Come up here for a second. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, how far can you get picking G2 up with all of them?
With all of them?
Yes.
I have to peel them off one at a time.
Well, just try to pick them up like that.
Just try to pick them up like
that. To pick up G2, he's got to pick up the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, and the angels. It can't happen. So Paul is giving him this is a fail proof. You cannot fail if you do it this way. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. G2, come back up here for a second. Now, let's just imagine that they're still here. Hovered around him. They've got him tight. The only way the devil can get him with his armor, with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the angels, the Word of God, the only way the devil can get to him is to lure him away from being in the Lord. He's got to lure G2 because, well, how's he going to pick up God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the angels, God the Word? How's he going to do it? So he's got to get G2 to loosen his grip. And so he'll come and he'll say, well, G2, I got something for you over here. You like Steph Curry, don't you? I could make it that you could shoot three-pointers all the time. Would you come with me? Here we go. Got him. Now guess what I can do? Now I can pick him up like I did before. I got him away. Or he may do this. G2, you really want a challenger, don't you? Challengers are this way. Come with me. I'll show you where the challengers are at. Got him again. Whatever his weakness is, the devil will exploit. May I encourage you and warn you, the Bible says, hey, we've got some enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. There ain't but one devil. And he cannot be everywhere at one time. But he knows G2 has a flesh. And he knows his flesh wants things in that world. And so he's got to get G2 out of this protection and get his flesh to desire some things to bring him on. Let me tell you something, Christian, in church it can't happen.
Yes, it can
happen sitting right in the church. You hear some juicy bit of gossip and they said this about so-and-so, and the ear gets perked up about so-and-so? Ooh, let me hear some of that. Come on over here. I'll tell you about so-and-so. And hamna. And I got him. The devil is no match for God.
He
is no match for the Holy Spirit of God. He is no match for Jesus Christ. He is no match for the Word of God. But he will use it against you. Say, no, he wouldn't. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. He will use the Word of God. If he used the Word of God against Jesus, he'll use it against you and I. All the riches of the world, all the challengers of the world, I'll give you. You just bow down and worship me. But Jesus came back and said, it is written. It is written. It is written. What did he do? He stayed in the Lord. He stayed in the protection. Christian, you and I don't have to be sifted like wheat this year. You and I can stand, but we cannot stand in our own strength. We cannot stand in our flesh. We can be fully clothed with the armor, but if I don't stand in the Lord, it does me no good. It's got to be in the Lord. It's got to be in the Lord. It's got to be in the Lord. And I'm afraid that many Christians live just like G2 is portrayed right now. Not in the Lord. Not in clothes. Not wrapped around. And we think we're okay. We think we can do this. We think we can make it. And you cannot. Paul would not have given all that time to give them everything and say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. It's God, it's God, it's God, it's God's. Thank you, G2. Now I looked online for some real armor and it was $1,500. And I said, I am not paying $1,500 for some real armor. Amen. Then I looked at the kiddie armor, and it looked too kiddie-ish. So I got to get a go-between before the end of the year and see what I want to get. With that illustration, I just want to show you, because what the devil does, he tries to lure you out of your stronghold. And then when he gets you out of your stronghold, he begins to talk to you. Did he not talk to Eve in the garden? And did he not try to get her bamboozled? Did he not try to deceive her? And did he deceive her? Yes, he did. And he told her everything she wanted to hear and baited her in. Let me tell you something. The devil wants to tell you what you want to hear. So you've got to make sure that what you want to hear is what God is telling you and not what the devil is telling you. Amen. So it all depends on what's in your heart. What do you want to hear? Do you want to hear that gossip? Do you want to hear those bad words? Do you want to hear that cursing? Do you want to hear that lying? Do you want to hear that music? Do you want to hear those things? What do you want to hear? That's what it all boils down to. And what's going to boil down to is what's in your heart. What's in your heart? Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The book of Ephesians is a textbook manual for Christian successful Christian living. If you never read it, I would encourage you to do so. We'll give you just a quick overview and then we're going to be done for the morning. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 deal with our beliefs or what we believe. And they deal with our position, the position of the Christian in the battle or their wealth in Christ. And it's the reason why you and I can stand and withstand. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Go to chapter number 2. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus and he's giving them what they need. And so he's saying, you know what? In chapters 1, 2, and 3, let me build a foundation. Let me give you what you need. Let me give you what you need to believe. And if you believe this, it's going to do something in your life. If you believe this, this is your wealth. This is your position. This is what you have. This is why you can stand. Chapter number 2, notice what he says in verse number 1. And you, talking to the Ephesians and talking to each one of you that are saved here, and you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in what? Trespasses and what? Sins. In other words, he says, you used to be dead and on your way to hell. And that's not a happy place. Nor is that a happy thought. But you got to understand, he's saying, that's the way you used to be. That's the way it used to be. Christian, let me tell you something. It's good to be saved.
Amen.
It's good. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm so glad for February 3rd, 1991 in Belgium in that church when they took me to the side and told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may have taken 2.5 hours, but I still got saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. And you ought to be glad you're saved. I was dead in sins and trespasses. I had not this protection. I didn't have the Father on my side. I didn't have the Son. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I didn't have the Word. I didn't have all those things. I didn't have that. But when I got saved, I got all that. I got all that. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, that's the way you used to be, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I like these next two words, but God. Hallelujah. But God. But God. But God. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins hath quickened us, made us alive. Together hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he says, you know, be strong in the Lord because you're already in Christ Jesus. You're already seated in the heavenlies. You're already there, spiritually speaking. I'm so glad that God has saved me. And Paul said, you know what? Let me tell you about what you ought to believe and what you should believe. And this is what you believe. And so as a result, I'm going to deal with your position of the Christian or in the battle or your wealth that you have in Christ and the reason why you can stand. In chapters 1, 2, and 3. Chapters 4 through 6, 9, he deals with his behavior. In other words, he says, because of how you believe, it should affect your behavior. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hey, if you believe the cops will give you a ticket, you'll stop at that red light. Amen. If you believe the cops will arrest you, you won't steal when you go in the store. Some people don't believe that. And they're in jail. Some of y'all didn't believe that and you got a ticket. Some of y'all didn't believe that you got caught by that camera.
Yes, sir.
You said, but I was framed. There you was. About like that, amen. I was framed. It was that other guy's fault in front of me who was a turtle slowpoke. It was him. It was her. But they didn't get the ticket. You did. No, I too have been framed. I pleaded my case. They didn't listen. They say, go to school, son. Our beliefs in chapters 1, 2, and 3 should change our behavior. And so chapters 4, 5, and 6 up to verse 9 deals with our behavior and deals with the practice and behavior of the Christian in the battle or their walk in Christ and how we can stand. He said, now, I've told you in chapters 1, 2, and 3 why you can stand, but now let me tell you how you can stand. You need to walk in Christ. And by the way, he never tells the Christian to crawl. Amen. Never tells the Christian to crawl. It's always walk. Why? I'm walking in Christ. He never tells you to walk. I mean, to crawl. Notice what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. He said, you've been called a Christian. You've been called a saint. You've been called to be saved. And so I want you to walk like that. He gives you the way with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Hallelujah. If more church members did that, the church wouldn't have a problem. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And more Christians practice their belief, the behaviors would change. And we wouldn't have the problems that we have. But they don't do that. And so Paul had to write and let them know. Notice verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind. He said, now, I know you're a Gentile, but don't walk like the rest of them. Walk like you've been redeemed. Walk like you've been renewed. Walk like you've been saved. Walk like you've been changed. Walk like you believe. In other words, walk the way you believe. Why? My beliefs should dictate my behavior. Notice chapter 5, verse 2. He says down there, chapter 5, verse 2. Matter of fact, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. As God, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. He says, walk in love. Verse 15, he says this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. So chapters 1, 2, and 3, it's my beliefs, and they deal with my position or the position of the Christian in the battle or their wealth in Christ. And it's the reason why they can stand. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 up to verse 9 deals with their behavior because of what they believe. And it deals with the practice and behavior of the Christian in the battle or their walk, how they can and withstand and how they should walk. And so when you come to chapter 6 and verse 10, it's not going from my beliefs to my behavior, now to my battle. And by the way, he's letting them know, you are in a battle. You got a flesh. I got a flesh. By the way, may I submit this to you? If you are saved, God himself lives in you. But your old flesh didn't move out of you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And may I submit this to you? Your flesh never wants to do right unless it wants to please him. And let me tell you this, God in you, in the spirit, never wants to do wrong. And so now I got in me a flesh that never wants to do right, and I've got the spirit that always wants to do right. I got a dilemma on my hands. Because one is pulling me this way, and one is pulling the other way. The Bible says these are contrary one to the other, so that you could not do the things that you would. Why? I've got God in me, but I've got a flesh that wants to do wrong. I'm torn in. You know, you get people in mental institutions, most of them in there because they got issues. Some of their issues are with God. And that's why many of them are there. Not all of them. But many of them are there because they got issues with God. They're trying to do something contrary to what God's trying to tell them. And it got them in trouble. And now they've gone crazy because they killed somebody or whatever they did. Now they've lost their mind. And so chapter 6, dealing from verse 10 on, is our battle. It's dealing with the protection of the Christian in this battle, or their wardrobe in Christ, and details how they should now stand and withstand against all these other forces of evil that are out there. And verse 10 deals with the final call to the brethren to stand and withstand, the firm caution to the brethren to stand and withstand, and the fixed concern to the brethren to stand. And so in chapter verse number 10 of chapter number 6, he's dealing with those three principles. He's giving them everything they need to believe. And he said, your belief now should dictate your behavior, and so you should walk in Christ. And as you're walking in Christ, don't forget you have a battle. You have a real enemy. And by the way, look to your left, look to your right, look in front of you, and look behind you. And there you will not find your enemy. You go outside of these doors, you will not find your enemy. You go to your home, you will not find your enemy. But there's a whole lot of people against me, but the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that is not my enemy. Your enemy is unseen. And woe betide to the individual who's going to stand here like G2 with my sword and with my shield and with all of my armor, and I'm going to fight against an enemy that I cannot see. You are destined to lose. You cannot fight an enemy that you cannot see. You cannot. Why do you think gas smells so awful? I'm talking about the air gas. The gasoline my son thinks smells good. Natural gas. Why do you think natural gas smells so awful? You can't see it, so they had to put something in it to make you smell it, to know that it'll kill you if you smell too much of it. I was in the kitchen the other day, and I kept walking around. I said, man, something smells like sulfur in here. Glory, what is that? And I thought, man, did somebody do something they shouldn't have done around here? And I kept walking around. I said, my soul. My wife said, what's that smell? It was the gas burner was on. And it had been on for so long, it was throughout the house and upstairs. And it was lingering. I'm glad nobody lit a match. Amen. But guess what? If there was no odor to it, it would have gone undetected. And somebody would have lit a match. And kaboom. We would have went up in smoke. Possibly. But it's got a smell so that you can recognize that. The devil doesn't have that kind of a smell.
If it was so, you'd run away. You'd say, you stink. Ooh, my soul. You smell like the devil. My soul. Get away from you. Glory. Go over there. You smell like the devil, too. Right, well, man, go over here. Then you go in a room by yourself. Yeah, I smell like the devil. Everywhere. Can't get away from it. We all smell like the devil. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so your enemy is unseen. You cannot fight an enemy that you cannot see. So if you're going to fight, it's got to be in the Lord. Why? He's spirit. And the Lord will fight for you. Your biggest thing is just to stand in the Lord. Your biggest thing is to withstand in the evil day. Your biggest thing is not to be lured away from the protection that you have, because it's so easy to get out of the protection going with the flesh woes, because in you still is that nature that wants to do wrong. And the minute you think you've got it down pat, you have lost it. What's the Bible saying? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he what?
Fall.
Lest you fall. So if you think you're standing and you're not standing in the Lord, you're going to fall. You and I, along with Ephesian brethren, can stand and should be able to withstand in the evil days if we heed the final call to the brethren. These are the 3 points that we're going to look at next week. Heed the final call to the brethren and stand and withstand. He says down there, finally, my brethren. Heed the firm caution to the brethren to stand and withstand. He says, be strong in the Lord. And then lastly, we'll look at this. Heed the fixed concern to the brethren to stand and withstand in the Lord. He said, in the power of his might. And that's how God wants us to stand. By the way, when he says, finally, my brethren, Paul has listed several classes of brethren. Several classes of brethren that need to stand. You say, preacher, what are some of those classes of brethren? I'll give them to you quick and we'll look at them next week. The sincerely saved brethren should stand. And then the sweetly submitting brethren should stand. You say, who's that, wives? Then the lovely, lovingly leading brethren should stand. Who's that, husbands? Love your wives. Then the obviously obeying brethren should stand. Who's that, children? Obey your parents in the Lord. Then the carefully cautioning brethren should stand. Who's that? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Then the saintly serving brethren should stand. He said, they should be serving as employees, and they should be serving as employers. And he says, you as brethren in your capacities, you have got to stand. If you're a husband, stand. If you're a wife, stand. If you're a child, stand. If you're an employer, stand. If you're a father, stand. If you're saved, stand. Stand, 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 and stand in the Lord. And he begins to classify them. He said, look, I'm telling you how to stand. I'm telling you how to stand. You've got a job to do. There's a priority here. You're a husband. You're a wife. You're a child. You're a boss. You're a co-worker. Everybody's got a priority. He leaves nobody unturned. He says, now stand. Stand. Why don't young people stand in school? Because they're not doing what the Bible says. Why don't we stand at our jobs? We're not doing what the Bible says. Why aren't we standing at wives? We're not doing what the Bible says. Why are we not standing as husbands? We're not doing what the Bible says. And on and on. And he says, stand therefore. Stand. You and I can stand. And we can withstand. If you don't remember anything else, remember the illustration of G2 by himself and G2 guarded. If you don't remember anything else, he cannot stand by himself. He will surely fall. But he can stand in the Lord and in the power of his might. He can stand like that. And with that, the devil can't get to him. Only thing he's got to do is resist. Withstand. Only thing he's got to do is stand in the Lord. Because God tells him what to do. Does that mean your life's going to be easy if you stand in the Lord? Not on your life. Not on your life. We still have a real flesh. And you're going to find out in verse number 12, Satan is not alone. He is not alone. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this dark world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's not alone. There's only one of him. He can't be in every place all the time. But he's got a whole lot of help. He's got a whole lot of help. And folks, if you and I are going to stand and withstand in the Lord ready for battle, we've got to recognize that our beliefs deal with our position or the wealth that we have in Christ, and we can stand. And our beliefs should dictate our behavior, and it should deal with the practice of our walk and how we can stand. And we've got to battle. We've got to have the protection, and we've got to stand in the Lord. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll close. Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand." And again, that word stand gives us the ability to abide, continue, hold up, establish, be fixed or steadfast. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. By the way, man, I submit this to you. When you got saved, you signed up to be in the wrestling match. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. When you got saved, you signed up for the wrestling match. Mm-hmm. So it's useless for you to say, "I don't like wrestling." You can say it all you want to. I don't like wrestling. Now, by the way, I don't like wrestling. I can't. Somebody's armpit up in my nose. I don't like wrestling. But I have to admit, I wrestle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Next time you get mad at somebody, it's not them. Next time you get upset, next time you want to lash out at somebody, it's not them. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this dark world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, as a result of that, at that spiritual battle, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? It's spiritual. That ye may be able to withstand. You may be able to oppose, resist, set against in the evil day. And having done all to stand, period. He starts verse 14 with stand. And he's going to tell you the armor that you need to have on to protect your Christian testimony. And to be able to withstand the onslaught that the wicked one brings your way and brings my way. Paul goes through great lengths to speak to this church, and I'm so glad he speaks to us through this church. My question is, are we going to stand or will we fall? And if we stand, are we going to stand in the Lord? Because if you don't stand in the Lord, wherefore, take heed lest you fall. Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. You know, back in chapter 2, it talked about being saved. Say, "Preacher, what do you mean being saved?" It said this, "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins." Let me encourage you. You don't get quickened by getting baptized. You don't get quickened by joining the church. You don't get quickened by turning over a new leaf. You don't get quickened by doing any of those things, by being a good person. You get quickened from God's Spirit coming down to live inside you when you confess your sins to God and repent that you know you're a sinner. And you deserve hell, and God in his mercy will save you. The Bible is clear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Ephesians says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Have you been born again today? If you died today, are you sure heaven is your home? If you're not sure, would you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? And then you can actually get in the battle and you can stand. Right now, you're on sinking sand. And your time is running out. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God is not wanting anyone to perish. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I don't know who you are or where you are, but God loves you. He wants to save you today. And he wants you to put you in a battle to get some other people saved just like you so that they can get some people saved and get in the battle so they can get some more people in the battle. And there'll be more of us one day if we do that than there are of them. Oh, would to God that would be true. Would to God that would be true. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Just for a moment. Consider your own life. Consider the way you stand. If we're all honest, sometimes we do stand in our flesh. If we're all honest, we're not always standing in the Lord and in the power of His might. Sometimes we have the audacity to say, I'll handle that with the old man. I can do that. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you were to die today, are you sure that heaven is your home? Just ponder that for a moment. Whether you're young or whether you're old, are you saved today? When I say saved, that means have you been born again? Have you gotten to the place where you repented of your sin? You told Jesus Christ, I know I'm a sinner and I know I belong in hell, but I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved and forgiven of my sins and go to heaven. If you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, would you do that today? Father, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. I'm going to be honest enough to say, preacher, if I died right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am not saved, or I've got some doubts in my mind and I would like to be saved from hell. I'd like to be born again, but I am not at this point 100% sure. Would you pray for me that I can get it settled today? All across this auditorium, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you just slip that hand up? Man, woman, boy, or girl, I want to pray for you. Amen. I see one hand. You may put that one down. I see another one. You may put that one down. Amen. Amen. I see that one. Is there another? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this auditorium, you say, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. Not 100%. I'd like to know, but I'm not sure. I won't call you out. I won't pick you. I'll just acknowledge you. You can put it right back down. Amen. I see that one. You may put that one down. Is there another? Is there another? Amen. Well, let me add this to the invitation. Once the music starts, we'll have people up front that can help lead you to Christ if you want to be saved. But you have to walk the aisle and come and let me know that you want to be saved. I cannot save you. And I will not violate your privacy. You've got to acknowledge your need for Christ and you've got to come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. Christian, how about you? Do we need to stand a little better? I would say, I think we do. I think we do. And during the invitation, Christian, maybe right in your seat where you're at, maybe you need to get a hold of God and say, God, help me to stand at my job. Help me to stand in my home. Help me to stand at my school. Help me to stand in my community. Lord, help me to stand in my sports activities. Help me to stand wherever I go. And maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, help me to stand. Father, bless now. These that have raised their hand, Lord, give them the Holy Spirit boldness to come forward, that they can be gloriously born again and saved today. Lord, thank you for saving me years ago. And Lord, I know you desire to save them, but they must see their need for Jesus Christ. They must see the eternality of hell, but also the everlasting love of the Father in heaven. And Lord, help them to recognize that they must take that step of faith to be born again. And help these Christians, Lord, that need to stand better in their respective places for the glory of God. Thank you for loving us today. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Miss Natasha is going to play a hymn of invitation. God spoke into your heart. Would you come? We have deacons down front. We have deacons' wives down front. Pastors' wives waiting to help you out. Would you come? As the music plays, would you come? You raise your hand saying you're not saved. Would you come? Christian, maybe you need to come and pray. Would you come? Would you come? I need to stand better in 2017. I need to do what God has called me to do. Would you come? Would you come? You raise your hand saying, I need to be saved. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. Would you come? Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Christian, would you pray? Would you pray? Would you pray to God with open hearts? Lives will be dealt with. Would you pray, Christian? Would you pray? Would you pray? We'll wait for you. We're talking about standing and withstanding in the evil day. We're talking about standing in the power of His might. We're talking about being strong in the Lord. But first of all, we've got to get in the Lord. We've got to get in the Lord. Would you come? You raised your hand. Would you come? Would you come? How about it? Oh, don't be afraid. I sat where you sat. I know what it's like to sit there afraid, not understanding what it's going to be like. The unknown is fearful, but I can tell you there's a loving God that will meet you here. There's a God in heaven that wants to love on you and wants to save you. Would you come? I've never been saved, preacher. I want to be saved. Would you come? Would you come? Sir, you raise your hand. Would you come? Ma'am, you raise your hand. Would you come? Would you come? We have those waiting to help you out. Standing and withstanding in the Lord. Ready for the battle. Would you let us help you today? Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Christians, pray. Let me speak to you just for a moment. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You raise your hand. Would you look at me? Just look up here for a moment. You raise your hand. Would you like to be saved? Would you like to be saved? Only takes you to come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you come? Would you come? One has come. God loves you. He wants to save you. Would you come? Would you come? All it takes is a step of faith. We'll meet you here. Start off the new year right in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Oh, don't fight God's Spirit. Don't resist. Would you come? Father, thank you for the one precious soul that has come. Lord, grant Holy Spirit boldness to the others. They would not leave without getting things settled with thee. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be able to stand in the Lord. God, you never called us to stand on our own and in our own power. You've given us the armor of God, the angels of God, the Son of God, the Spirit of God, and Father God. We have all. Oh God, as we go into 2017, help us to stand. And when we think we are standing and we fall, help us to just repent, get right back up and stand again. And Lord, no matter how many times we fall, may we continue to get back up. A righteous man falleth 7 times, the Bible says, but he gets back up. Help us to continue. Lord, we know we're not perfect, but oh, we have a perfect God. And Lord, help us to stand in you. Some of us will leave here and be tempted. Some of us will leave here and, Lord, may not stand as we desire. Oh God, may we not quit. May we not give up. May we just confess our faults to thee. Lord, you said, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Would you do that for us continually as we confess to thee? Thank you for this morning, God. Help us to leave this morning different than when we came in, but looking forward to this challenge and this new year to stand in the Lord and in His power and in His might. Grant saving faith to the one that has gone, and Lord, the others, give them that boldness to say, what must I do to be saved? That we can gloriously lead them to Christ. Thank you for being our God and our Savior. Brother Hall, if you come to the platform, dismiss us in word of prayer.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word that came forth here today. I praise you, my Father, for blessing us, Lord, to be able to gather together, Lord, and lift your name up. And thank you, Lord, for the instructions that you give us, Lord, to stand, regardless of our circumstance, Lord. But I also praise you, Lord, for giving us the instruction to stand in you and not our own strength. Lord, we don't have any idea how weak we are, but we are weak and we are needy. But I do praise you, Lord, for being the one true only God, Lord, that's full of power. Lord, there's none like you. I pray for that one that's being dealt with right now. I pray that he gets saved. And for the others that raise their hand, I do pray, Lord, that you give them the boldness, Lord, to come forth and ask that one question, the most important question that can ever be asked, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And I do pray, Lord, that you don't give them peace, Lord, until that's settled. Thank you again for our visitors. I praise you, my Father, for Shining Light Baptist Church and our pastor. Lord, I pray that you bless us with traveling mercy as we depart. And I thank you again for being our God.
In Jesus' name, amen.